Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Hello, darling hags. We're back again. Another day, another slay. The three of us in the basement here.
Darling,
screaming
hello.
Into the void, hoping we have some...
We're recording it, so
yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The digital void that will soon, yes.
Will devour us all.
With yeah. the... With the magnanimous talents of Mr. David Shimka will be brought to your attention and to your ears.
Yes. I'm going to go ahead and just put it out there that I'm fighting a horrible cold. So if there's a couple of coughs or sneezes or, just my voice sounds real weird right now. I don't know if it sounds weird to you guys, but it's very in my head mm-hmm. right now. So sorry about
Everything
that.
Everything you say is vibrating in your brain.
Yeah. It's like a little tiny vice. It's just like...
Slowly tightening.
But that's fine.
There you go.
It's fine.
You're good.
I braved the outside world.
Yes.
To come out today. It's been a few days.
You put on the couch. Clothes on.
I put real clothes on. Actually, I've had a lot of hot, steamy showers in the last few days, which is nice when you have cold.
Feels good.
Yeah. Get some of that thieves oil. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Just like from the couch. I've had to wash my hair a few times because I've gone from the couch to the hot steamy shower to the bed towel and fall asleep.
Yeah.
And then
that's great for your hairdo.
Really nice. Yeah. Really, really nice. So I actually tried. My hair is pretty nice right now
because
before I pass out on my bed again yesterday, I curled it into nice little finger curls.
Yes.
Like four big ones. So now and it's actually okay. I can fake it. Yeah.
Nice.
So that's...
There you go. You look like a full functioning human.
Oh, even good. I feel like one.
You look like you had a full day of errands and like running about in the snow. You know?
I had none of those.
None of that.
I haven't done anything.
And you made your husband drive you too.
Yeah. I was like, I took a bunch of cough medication this morning. I was like, I don't think I should be behind
I should get one of those.
Right now.
A husband.
I should not be driving. That's a bad idea.
Oh, man.
But I had a couple days off, so we went to the island, speaking of what I've been up to.
Mm.
And I mentioned a while ago about this table that we've been wanting to make, because we got the new couch a while ago. And so now I hate everything in my apartment except for the couch. So we wanted to
get this
nice...
Are you getting more
familiar
with the woodworking stuff?
Yeah.
And the carpentry a little bit.
Yeah. So we had this idea of this nice table. And then that idea of that nice table got thrown out the window when we realized how much work that table would actually be. So we scrapped those
changed
plans.
Changed your design.
Changed the design.
Design choice.
It was a design choice, absolutely. Yes. And when we got the wood and looked at how much wood there was and how much we would have to buy for this other thing and blah, blah, blah. And
you better crunch some numbers, right?
Yeah. So we finished as much of it as we could at the shop and then brought the rest home to finish sanding and stuff. So I was sanding on my balcony.
Oh, excuse me, you're doing it on your balcony?
Yeah, pretty much. I was sanding on the balcony and I went up and bought like one of those little hand sander things. Not like an electric like power tool, but like just a little
holder
clip thing to sand the edges and sand all the legs and stuff. And I dropped it, I don't know how many times, a dozen times. And I was like, oh, don't drop this off the balcony because you're six floors up. You'll have to run down the stairs. So, of course, at a certain point, I drop my sander off the balcony. Mm-hmm. And I'm all like bundled up because it's not super warm out.
Yeah.
And I'm bundled up and I've got like ratty like work clothes on, essentially. And so I'm like, oh, shit. I dropped this thing. I peek over my balcony ledge and it's landed on a work truck that is like below the build, like under the building, sort of by the where you pull in to get the garbage and stuff, like area. And it's landed on a work truck, and the guy is down there like loading up his truck to like go. And I was like, ah! Of course. So I run downstairs, and it's on the top of his van.
But he doesn't know it's there.
So I run downstairs, and I was like, oh God, such an idiot. So I run down, and I'm like,
Excuse me.
I was up there, and I dropped a thing on top of your van. He's like, oh, I thought I heard something. He's like ready to drive away. I'm like,
I'm going to need it back.
And also, can you get it? Because I'm way too short. Like, I cannot reach it. I need you to physically get up and get it. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're going like, okay, but like couldn't make eye contact with this guy. Like, oh, so stupid. So stupid. Ran downstairs like an idiot.
Buddy.
But
hey, you got it back.
Table looks nice.
There you go.
Table looks nice.
You can keep sanding.
Yeah, so much sanding. It's like making a dress. It's like all finishing.
Yeah.
90% of it is the finishing. It's not the cutting.
Yeah.
It's measuring, getting the pattern right.
Yeah.
Measuring. And then finishing and sanding and sanding.
Damn, the damn hems and buttonholes and...
Yeah, pockets and welts and...
Fusing, boning, foundation garment.
Yeah.
But that's me. Other than that, I've been in bed all week. I'm not much to report. I've been super sick and it's been driving me crazy. I am over it.
Soup.
Ready to be done.
Over it.
What's up with you, Evan?
I am, of course, disgustingly busy as always.
Mm.
I wouldn't like it any other way, though. So,
hey, man.
I mean, I'm complaining either way.
What? There's that.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I'm really fortunate to be this busy. But I'm also getting ready to go on a little vacation to San Francisco, which is definitely needed.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna feel good.
Yeah, I traveled a lot last year, but it was mostly for work and for research, and
it was to family,
they weren't out
too,
of the country. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like, going was, home is yeah. not.
I've never been to California.
You've never been to California?
Never been to California.
Oh my God, it's your first time.
Yeah, never been anywhere in the US except for Seattle and New York for a day. But I'm very excited. And
you have friends there too, which is nice.
I have friends there. I'm going to hopefully do a photo shoot with some folks who've been interested in my work for a while. They're like a couple models who live in San Francisco. So of course there'll be a little bit of work and then I'll be on my computer and whatever, but it'll be nice to not be crouched over embroidery or crouched over a sewing machine or
locked in a room crunching for hours the numbers. And hours and hours.
I'll be able to have time to do all of those things that are usually pushed to the side.
Mm.
They're still very important and sometimes boring, but not boring to me.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
And as long-time listeners of the podcast will know that I have a long-time admiration and devotion to Dr. Angelo, who for a large portion of her life lived in San Francisco. So I'm going to go on a tour.
Oh, nice. Ooh, the Maya Angelou
tour of San Francisco, which I'm very excited
super exciting.
For.
Yeah.
Then, of course, go to the Castro and...
Yeah, hang out.
And just take in the vibe and...
Go to a drag show?
Go to drag shows.
Go to a thing.
Go see some drags. Go see some arts.
Bookstores.
Shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's more than enough to see down there.
Yeah. Go look at fabric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely going to go look at fabric.
Oh, you got to get like a burrito in the Mission.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
Some like legit Mexican food.
Fuck.
Yes. As legit as you can, it's outside of Mexico, I suppose. Yeah. Definitely more legit than the
but like San Francisco
vegan Mexican place by my house that's owned by an Asian family.
But like, the burritos in San Francisco are like a thing.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that. The ones in the Mission. And they have like dueling restaurants.
Oh.
And there's like San Francisco versus LA burritos. They do their burritos differently.
Really? I did not know.
And I wonder if that has to do with like the different communities who live in Los Angeles compared to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Like they're from different parts of the South.
Sure, different Hispanic continents. Groups and stuff. And whatever they're going to do differently. And then the Americanizing of it too. And white people taking over.
Yeah.
You know, classic stuff.
Yeah.
Typical.
Another day.
Another day in colonialism.
Yeah. Boop, boop, boop. I just imagine like what was that fucking cartoon? It was along the lines of Betty Boop, but she was younger and she was a bit sassier. She had black hair. She kind of looked like a Peanuts character. I can't remember her name. It was like little something.
Little Dot or Dot or something? Is she like comics?
Oh shit, is this the one? Animated. Is this the one where she's been remade recently and she's got like kind of black, little almost like an afro, like curly hair?
A little bit, yeah.
Fuck, what's her name? The person has, somebody has done the whole strip and made her like
more modern,
a millennial essentially.
Oh, really?
And it's hilarious and like.
Because I remember reading them in the newspaper when I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. What's her name?
It's kind of drawn. Yeah. It's.
Fuck. My friend Geneva is always reposting her.
Anyway, but I imagine like a comic strip of that style, but just like another day in colonialism and just being like boop, boop, ba-doop, boop,
boop, boop, boop. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Dissociation as a way of coping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
How long are you going for?
A week. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. A nice solid week.
Get some
week.
Good meals in. Get mm-hmm. some good shows in.
Some kikis.
Yes. Yeah, some hangs.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. Exciting. 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 And then come back and hitting the ground running.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Deadlines.
Deadlines. Deadlines. Deadlines. The only thing that's certain right now is the deadlines.
Yes.
In black and white in my Google Calendar.
That's good. You need those.
Yeah.
You need those to keep you going. Because then when you,
yeah. keep you on
like
track.
checking off lists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Checking off, what are they called? Why can't I, like a box on your list. I can't talk.
A to-do list? Now.
Yeah.
My brain is like mashed potatoes, so we're going to get through this together.
There you go.
Abby, what about you? What's happening?
Not much has happened.
You have a pretty crazy fort in your living room.
Yes, and I'm not taking it down.
I wasn't sure if it was like, oh no, something spilled. Like, oh, you have to dry all the towels
painting.
Or dry all the, yeah, or they're painting.
All the tarps are out,
yeah.
drop sheets.
No, it's a legit
No, we haven't
fort.
Been using our dining room table and...
Not since the puzzles? You finished all the puzzles?
No, we have to take a break from puzzles. But the kids are driving me crazy and they had so much screen time already and I was like, fuck, I can't put them in front of another screen again. So then I just went out and got the sheets and put your pillows and shit, toys underneath. And it's like a big, long table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome.
We put the leaf in and everything, so it's even bigger. And I got all the chairs. And there's like three or four giant sheets, with little binder clips, keeping them all in place. And it's been like, I don't know, 5 days.
Nice.
So
it's fun. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I'm into it.
I found a couple dog toys in there, so the dog's been hanging out there too.
That's good.
Unless the kids brought the dog toy in, which is also possible. But yeah, it's a nice little chill out. I think Dave was hiding in there earlier today.
Yeah,
he was in there when I came in. When we came downstairs,
yeah. I was looking for him. And then I saw like one little foot sticking out. I was like, oh, and I'm like, Dave's playing on his phone in the fort, ignoring all of us. Good job, Dave.
Good for you. Yeah.
Oh, man. What else? I'm trying to think of a highlight of the last little bit. Oh, I went to this event. It's like a storytelling networking thing called Grace Club here in Vancouver. But
Grace?
Like great. Grace.
Grace.
Like State of Grace.
Got it.
And it's just like storytelling and speakers and it's all from like a feminist intersectional lens. There's people from all over the place. Gender, age, ethnic background. They try to really mix it up. And it's just a great way to meet people and hear cool stories. I cry every single time I go because there's always some like incredibly touching and powerful story somebody tells. So I always bring tissues. But the best part about this one was they got it catered by this its organization. Oh, shit. I'm totally forgetting the name now. Taipei? Fuck. I'm an idiot. I'm a damn white girl that doesn't know what she's talking about.
They got it catered?
Taipei Syrian food. Yes. Normally there's just like little nosh things like
a charcuterie.
Yeah, okay. Like a veggie tray or something. Mm-hmm. And there's usually wine and candy and stuff.
I was picturing it at a restaurant, like a sit-down restaurant.
No, it was at Work Lab, which is a big work sharing space. Okay. And they emptied out one of the big rooms. And there's just like folding chair seating for like 50 people.
Right.
And then one little area with like big chafing dishes and stuff. And it's this organization. I'd heard of them locally. And they had started out doing, it's an organization started by two Syrian women who are Canadian. And it's a way for new Syrian refugees to get a job, to meet other Syrian people, to meet other people who are not Syrian in their communities. And they would just rent out like a community center or like a rec hall somewhere and put on a giant Syrian food buffet.
Oh, cool.
And they sold out. Every single time they would feed 200 plus people.
Wow.
And they've done like maybe half a dozen of them and they would sell out in minutes. Like the first one happened and then they got some like press about it and the food is amazing. Middle Eastern food is one of my favorite foods in the entire world.
So good.
Lebanese, especially in Syria's right next door. And So it just started these, they'd done these few events and now they got an, like, it was like three or four people who started it. And now they have like seven cooks and five helpers and two drivers. And like, it's a big team now. And now they do full catering services and you can hire them for whatever.
No way.
I'm trying to invent a reason to have a party.
Yeah.
Just so I can hire these beautiful, wonderful people and their delicious food. I was telling Dave, I'm like, the dog's birthday's in May.
A non-denominational Easter holiday party?
Sure. With Syrian food?
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah, no kidding.
But fuck, and it was just like, they had these like little dumplings that were just had like feta and herbs in them.
Oh.
Like I was expecting it to be like meat or like a little dumpling with like vegetables or something in it. I bite in it. I don't know, maybe like 2-3 inches across.
Like pierogi size?
Like, yeah. like a hand pie almost. Oh. So they were like fried, like a little bit crispy.
Oh.
And then I took a bite into it and it was just cheese. Oh.
Dough and cheese.
Fuck. And then like falafel and these like kibbeh sticks, which is like a beef. What's the word I'm looking for? Like hamburger meat. What's that called?
Like ground beef.
Ground beef. Yeah. Yes. Spiced. And then wrapped in falafel lentil.
Oh, shit.
Dough. So it's like these little like wieners. They look like what's that plant called? The cattails or whatever that grow in, like, you know.
Yeah.
Where you live.
Yeah.
The things where you live.
Cattail.
They're cattails. Oh, yeah. They are, yeah, the brown guys.
Or like, bulrushes or whatever, yeah, depending on where
they
you're
look
from,
like
yeah.
those, but then you bite into it and it's fucking delicious ground beef inside. So it's like,
that reminds
so good.
Me of cabbage rolls a little bit.
I was going to say, it's like corn dogs.
Yes. But like way better.
Like way better.
Like gourmet corn dogs. Just put them on a stick. They were missing a stick. You got to put them on a stick next time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send them some feedback.
Yeah.
Or they can do little appetizer versions and put the Q-tip. The
yes.
Little, yeah, not the Q-tip.
So this was just
yeah. toothpick.
Yeah, Q-tip.
I have a complaint about
these. Yeah. They're missing
They're
Q-tip.
Delicious, but I would skip the cotton on those.
So anyway, if you ever have a chance to work with T-A-Y-Y, B-E-H. Fuck, I'm totally fucking it up. Anyway.
We'll get it right.
We'll get it right. We'll link
give
to it.
Google and we'll get it right.
If you either chance to eat their food or just go for Syrian food in general, I cannot recommend it more. It was delicious. And I was pissed that there was 49 other people there and I couldn't eat more of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took one of each and I was like, okay. Because we were like, me and my friend Maddie were like totally lurking right by the area waiting for the lids to be taken off the chain. And we were literally the first ones in there.
I'm always the first one. I always find people are like
hanging out nonchalantly.
Trying to be like cool and like not overly eager to get in on the
And I'm
food.
Like holding
And I'm like, I will be the person to get everyone
Where
interested.
Where are the snacks?
I yeah. will be that person. I have no problem waving
that. Give me that spoon. Yeah. I'm going to start scooping.
I don't care. I'll yeah. happily take that charge.
And then I went back and I did get another kibbeh kebab. Kibbeh thingy. Kibbeh log. Fuck, it was so good. So now I'm trying to figure out like how many other like Middle Eastern restaurants are in town.
I know. I, was
I need
saying,
more.
I don't know of any Syrian restaurants, but I've actually never looked.
Or even Lebanese, because they're very similar. There are obviously some differences, but like Lebanese food is so good. One of my look, favorite yeah. drinks I've ever had in my entire life, we were, and it was lemonade, vodka, and mint, a smoothie.
Oh my
like,
God.
A blended drink.
That sounds amazing.
And then it had like orange blossom essence in it too. Like it had something and it was literally like on like the best thing I have ever like imbibed in yeah. my entire life. It was so good. The lemonade and mint. Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. That sounds so good.
So fresh.
So fresh. Anyway, that's me fantasizing about Syrian food.
I'm on board. I'm going
to go to Nuba now.
Yeah, I do love Nuba.
Nuba's like Middle Eastern light, though.
Yeah.
It's like the Tex-Mex it version is. Of yeah. like Mexican food.
Yeah.
It's still delicious. It's
still really good. Yeah, I got to find
and
a
And they're all vegetarian
legit
there?
One.
No, they got chicken in Nuba.
No, yeah, it's not all veggie.
Anyway.
They have lamb.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, lamb. David likes the lamb. Mm-hmm. Dave will always go for the lamb.
Mm-hmm.
He has his choice in things. Anyway, that's me.
Nice.
That's all I got going on this week.
Cool.
Yeah, but we can get to the
matter at hand.
Yeah, so trying to find subjects that we've talked about in the past a little bit that we could come back on. Because I don't know how many times we've said, oh, we can talk more about this. Let's talk about it another time.
Yeah.
We never do. But we need to start coming back to these things. And we have talked about how the world of retail and the shopping experience has changed. And we talked about it in our Futurisms episode a little bit. And this week, we decided to concentrate specifically on how social media and shopping are melding and failing and coming together and how they're changing each other. Because it really is a two-way exchange, right?
Yeah.
Like the platforms are changing to suit the shopping and the shopping is changing to adapt with the apps and stuff, right? So it's interesting to see how many more ads we're seeing in our feeds.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, like all the time. Like there's days where I just like hide ads. Every ad I see, I'm just like, have seen too often, repetitive, not relevant. I'm very happy. Actually, one thing that I'm very happy to see on Facebook, they don't have it on Instagram yet. A thing where it says you can hide ad and it gives you three or four choices of the reason why you're hiding it. Mm-hmm. One of them is, I already bought this.
Oh, really?
Because that drives me fucking crazy. It's like, no, I already bought the shoes. Yeah. Don't keep showing me the literally the same. It's not like the brand is, no, the same polka dot shoes. Like, no, I bought them. I don't need the ad.
Yeah.
And I can hit it's not relevant as much as I want, and they still keep showing up. Yeah.
I like doing it's not relevant for brands that I don't like.
Me too.
You're not relevant.
No.
Gone.
But then I find those don't work. The it's not
really
relevant.
It just keeps coming back.
The one that works for me, I've seen it too often.
Oh.
So even if it's like, sometimes at Instagram, they feed me some like diet shit.
I've been getting a lot of that lately.
I'm not here for that.
Yeah, I'm not
under any circumstance. I am not. I started following a few like, not nutritionists, but like body positivity stuff and like countering disordered eating, but not necessarily like
diets.
Yes. Or like orthorexia, right? Where you're like obsessed with eating healthy.
Right.
And that in itself can be a condition.
Damaging.
Right? Yeah. Is being obsessed with eating too healthy, regardless of amounts.
Right.
Which was like bulimia and anorexia. But trying to find like all these fucking workout sites and fucking like, and of course, like they're all like mom related too, which is just like double pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because heaven forbid I should like my body after having kids.
Oh my God, how dare you?
How dare I? How wrong can you be? But I keep finding not relevant. I'm like, bitch, I don't fucking care about this. If I hit, I've seen this too often, even if it's the first time I've seen it.
It'll never
still
come
too
back.
Often.
Yeah, that's one too many. Yeah.
Still true. Yeah. I don't want to see it at all. One time is too much. But it's nice to see that that's evolving with the fact that we are getting more and more of them.
How much time do you guys spend on your social medias? Like, let's say Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Like,
too much.
But I mean, which ones do you spend the most
like,
on?
Like, do you have the tracker on your
no,
phone
I'm
with
too
the
scared.
New iOS?
I'm too scared to. I'm too scared. I don't want to know.
Because I recently got rid of, I took Facebook off my phone a while ago, the app. And then in the last week, I think, I've been just really, with all this privacy shit that's happening, and it's like everybody's in your everything, and Messenger and Instagram and something else are all merging together or something.
Yeah.
I was like,
FaceTime
I'm
shit's
done.
Happening too. We're like a bunch of shit.
That's right.
FaceTime.
I was like, I put my Facebook account on temporary hold or whatever.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah. You can shut it
temporarily
down.
Temporarily
disable it. You don't delete
it,
but you just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's turned off.
And I have not.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. So I spend no time on Facebook anymore and I do not miss it at all.
Sweet.
But I do find I'm spending more time on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Which I actually kind of like more now.
Well,
Instagram
good.
Is good, but I just find it's so, I find it very repetitive after a while. And if you want to curate your feed differently, the algorithms are so
I was
going
to say, you
like,
try to do as much as you can, but then the algorithm doesn't always let you do that.
No.
Because it keeps showing you other shit or the same shit or, you know, it's, I don't know. Every time Instagram changes their algorithm, everybody thinks it sucks.
I've never seen anyone be happy with it.
I know. Every time they do it, everybody's angry. It's always my post. My feed is full of people who are just like, what the fuck?
And if you follow a new something, then you get like five of that.
Yes.
Like immediately.
Yeah.
And you're like, no,
the
just
first eight posts.
Just give me the most recent one.
If I want to see, I'll go back. I'll click on the feed. Yeah. That's it. I know how this works.
Yeah.
I've been doing this a while now. I understand.
Yeah. We've been on Instagram since it was chronological.
Yeah, I miss those days.
So do
that
I.
Was great.
It's
so much better.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But recently, speaking of shopping, in the last year, I think, maybe a little bit more than a year, but I think it was 2018 where they launched like the actual shopping on Instagram with like the buy
the prices,
button,
the prices and the, yeah, stuff. Yeah.
Do you find that you guys use that? Have you used it before purchase?
I use it for my business. I use it for my business. I
oh,
have.
You do?
Yeah.
Have you got any sales from it?
Yes. Directly and indirectly.
Yes.
Because I feel like people will like click on that. It's easier for people to just click on that item and then they get sent to the web store and then they'll look at everything.
Sure, they won't just look at that one there, item. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So this is, I think, all the research that I've done about this topic today and yesterday and whatever was like, yes, it's a good thing, but it's not as good. It's not driving the sales the way that it that people that predicted intended, that it yeah. would. And I think it's a good step towards like the marketing and the branding mm-hmm. of a product or a brand itself, but it's not driving the sales specifically. Like you see the post
because you can track all this thing. Shit, right? You can track every click and you can see yeah. where your traffic is coming from and what brought you there, and regardless of what who hosts your website or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right?
You can get all this information.
But I think that people expected it, and this is primarily with Instagram. I think with Facebook, I'm not sure because it's basically both of them don't let you shop in the app specifically. It'll take you to the website,
sure. yeah,
which you can still do like all in one go kind of thing, but yeah. it's not like buy this, put in your, you know, code or your ID or whatever
yeah.
thing you have connected, whatever, your yeah. password, and you that's it, you bought it.
Yeah.
It's not that it takes you to the external website,
mm-hmm.
which I've never bought anything off of Instagram, but that is fine with me. I would trust that buying it directly from the website rather than
through the Instagram.
Than through
portal.
Instagram.
Yeah.
See, and I think that's part of the reason that people don't is like, people don't trust necessarily that's the safest way to do it.
Well, there's been so many either straight up breaches of personal information, right? Where mm-hmm. they come back and say, oh shit, somebody got a hold of your, potentially got a hold of your information. Or there's just that lack of transparency where you're like, I don't know if this is safe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I know when I shop, I will look at it on Instagram and I will see, oh, okay, this shirt is $86 or whatever. And then I will do like later, and I also try to keep all of my payment information off of my phone.
Yes.
So I don't shop on my phone. Like I have to be at my computer to buy something just as like a stopgap method for yeah. me just not yeah. like, woohoo! Yeah.
Go willy-nilly.
Yeah, yeah, PayPal, here we go. So like I will like oh, okay, I don't know this brand. It has X, Y, and Z I'm interested in. And then I will go in my browser in somewhere else and go to their website or Google and find another store that sells the same thing and yeah. shop around a little bit like that. But I've never actually bought anything straight through like that.
Yeah, no, I haven't either. One thing I do really like about that feature though is it shows the prices.
Yeah.
Me too.
That yeah. I find super, it's super helpful. Helpful. I think that's a huge advantage for, and being able to like keep it quiet. It's not like, $69.99. Like, doesn't yeah. like a flyer. It's like, yeah. oh no, if you're interested, you can click on it.
Or you have to
it.
Read a bunch of text in the description yeah. to like scan. Whoa.
Yeah.
What size is available and what, you know.
It's pretty smart.
Stuff.
It's pretty smart. But I, like I said, I've never actually done it. But I've taken it for sure for a research. Like, and I think that's sort of what has happened that they being, you know, the powers that be, the researchers and the industry itself.
Whoever these people are.
I think there was an expectation that it would like take Instagram and Facebook kind of by storm and it would be like this new online it's shopping
new frontier.
Platform.
Yeah.
And it really hasn't taken off like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not that surprised, to be honest. Like,
well, I think a lot of the people who are doing the shopping are older.
Yeah.
And they are less sure.
Yeah.
Of technology or a little bit more wary of it, right? So the people who have the money who could potentially be making a lot of the bulk of the purchases are the people who are, you know, over 25.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're just more, wary of just doing that and trying to find more traditional ways, whereas younger people are more wary of traditional ways and traditional media and traditional ads and how that works and finding, you know, commercial or a magazine ad or, you know, all the ways we used to find out about things.
Yeah.
Right?
A catalog.
Yeah.
A catalog, yeah. and a Sharpie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little flags, little sticker flags.
Yeah, in all the articles and stuff that I read about this, age is like the biggest factor in the sales of a product on these social media platforms. And Instagram is the biggest one, kind of by far. But older people will buy stuff on Facebook more, but
sure,
mostly not on Instagram.
Hmm.
But I read this sort of disturbing stat that it says 22% of 16 to 24 year olds will get rid of an item after being photographed in it on Instagram less than 3 times.
Wow.
So while it makes it good for brands, for branding, for the selling thing, that selling is really just another way of saying consuming.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a good thing, you know, ethically and ecologically speaking.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
Because if it's that easy to buy something. And lots of times, also, I read this other stat that done by Alliance, which is an insurance company in the States, this 2018 survey that said 57% of US millennials bought something that they hadn't planned on buying because of social media. They would buy something that they would go out of their way to be like, oh, I got to have that, and I got to do it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hadn't like planned it out and set that money aside. So that is just another sign of this, like, how much of this consuming is good. Yeah. Whereas before, this fast fashion stuff would be in the stores, and there was
you still had to go to the store. You had
to go to the stores, and then you could go online.
And then shop your food
online. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now you just do it from your phone, and now you delivered. Just do it from
your phone. So after I read that, I was like, okay, well, what are there any sort of more ethical or, you know, ecological or ecologically minded, eco-friendly kind of influencers?
Mm.
Because there are a shitload of just buy it and buy it and buy it. And YouTube is a big proponent of that too.
God, yeah.
Especially for younger
people.
And there are a few, but lots of them.
Well, one of the things that could fall into that category is the secondhand market.
Yes, and that is growing too.
Facebook Marketplace, good old Craigslist. I don't think that qualifies as social media. I don't know. But things like, or Poshmark, ThredUp, and there's another one too where you sell Kidizen, which is for kids' clothes.
Grailed is for high-end resellers.
Yeah, how you can get into the resale market.
Have you guys heard about secondhand this one called Buns?
No.
I just read about this today, and it's this
BUNS?
BUNZ.
Of course, silly me.
BUNZ for American listeners.
BUNZ.
It started as like a Facebook kind of group for trading. Like, okay, I have a black skirt, doesn't fit me anymore, but I need a blue blouse. Who wants to trade? Kind of thing. But for all kinds of stuff, for furniture, for
whatever,
all kinds of stuff.
Electronics, whatever.
And it sort of developed into these other little smaller subgroups.
Oh, yeah.
And then sort of exceeded the limitations that Facebook put on those kinds of groups. Mm. So they started their own app, their own platform, essentially. And it's like a trading style app, which is kind of cool.
That's sweet, because I know there's like buy nothing groups on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
It's the same kind of deal.
Yeah, those like clothing swap kind of
programs. I have shit in my house that is still usable, but I don't need.
Yeah.
Does anybody want it?
And any kind of clothing swap thing that I've ever done, I've learned about on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've bought multiple things on the Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
I've got some great stuff on there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a win-win situation. You get rid of something, you get money, and somebody else gets it.
And yeah, there's no, or with this one, it's a trade. It's a straight trade.
Sure.
There's no money at all.
That's great.
Which is kind of neat. They have, for things that are like beyond a straight trade, the values are way off skewed. They have, basically, they're starting their own online currency called BTZ, BTZ or something. I'm not exactly sure how
like
it works.
Credits or something.
Yeah, it's basically a credit.
You can accumulate them and then spend them.
And then spend them on different things. But it's not money. It's things that you have that you can trade.
And the value that they can potentially
have. So it's kind of cool. It's still sort of growing. Like I couldn't find tons of like really current information. they do this annoying thing where to get sort of into it, you have to sign in. Yeah, you have to sign up for it, which is so fucking annoying. Yeah,
that's
annoying.
A bit annoying.
But that's I'm curious to see.
Data mining.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. But it's also geographically based.
Yeah.
So that's like when good. I was looking on it, it automatically knew that I was in Vancouver and it automatically, you know,
knew your
showed up
town,
at this.
Right. Yeah.
And it was more like a city, like a location based training program kind of thing.
I need to get a new Buy Nothing group because I moved.
Right. Yeah.
And the line between the two different areas is literally half a block. So I'm kind of being like, can I still be in this group? Even though I'm literally like four houses in from the official line. These things do have their pitfalls. I know, I mean, there's always the shadiness of shit like this when you're totally. Buying from an individual and not a, you know, not a store or something. But I also know, like, especially I've had friends who've sold things on Poshmark and it's more in the States. I don't even know if I have it here. I've never looked into it here in Canada, but I know they're really heavy into the algorithms.
Oh,
and you
really?
Have to, it's like Etsy kind of too, where like you have to build your site to fulfill a certain amount of attractive things and you have to get so many clicks and you have to, like, your photography has to be really good. You can't just like throw it on a dirty sheet and take a picture like people do on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And not clean up all the shit on the counter behind.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit more curated and a little bit more, you know, purposeful.
A little more posh.
Yeah, a little more posh. I mean, they're still selling Forever 21 shit on there. So it's not that posh. Mm-hmm. It's not like one of those luxury ones where, like, I know there's a lot of those coming up. And I think I would like to talk about that potentially on another episode about specifically the luxury resale market. But that's definitely a way that social media is counteracting that.
Yeah.
Fast, and not even fast fashion, just fast consumerism.
Yeah.
It's like hyperspeed consumerism.
Yeah.
It's too easy.
Yeah. It's gross.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much, do you guys think people will be, like, I'm just waiting for the pendulum to swing away from Instagram, because I feel like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
At some
once
point.
That isn't the central hub for it, what is that going to look like?
Because, like, does Snapchat even exist anymore? Does anyone do it? I mean, yeah. I never did from the get-go, but I think Rihanna kind of killed it.
Yeah, I'm unsure. No.
No.
But you can't buy on Snapchat. You can't, like, shop on Snapchat.
No, but you can still share.
The True. Thing, you can be an influencer.
Yes.
That whole influencers are the new bloggers, right? 15 years ago, people were like, what the fuck is a blogger? Who do they think they are? Showing up here and buying, getting all this money and yada, yada, yada. And now they're now it's quote influencers.
Yeah. I mean, at least
we're doing that.
At least bloggers had two brain cells to rub together. And
they had to make a blog.
And write an opinion about whatever they were.
And create content as opposed to just a picture on Instagram.
Yeah. As opposed to a photo shoot and a paid advertisement.
Yes. So I got a number of the industry on Instagram alone of influencers is $1 billion.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's insane. And how 94% of brands say that it's effective to have an influencer.
I believe it.
Have some sort of trade, be it
a collaboration,
gift, whatever that looks like.
Well, it's like, I saw this thing about, they were talking about how it's, things used to get started by, like, the best success that a brand could have is a successful word of mouth.
Yes.
And
that's this.
So this is the illusion of word of mouth. It's like, I saw this cool thing that this person that I like and look up to and they have
and
great style.
It's cool.
And they like it. So
I fall
have
for
you
that
guys
shit
seen
all the
it?
Time.
Totally.
I fall for the shit all the time. And again, coming back to that point of people being wary of traditional advertising methods. People being wary of them and not trusting them, and also people just not consuming them, like, you know, catalogs or newspapers or magazines or TV commercials. Nobody, that is not, that looks completely different to what it looked like even 20 years ago, right? So having this, like, this word of mouth, this, like, recommend from a friend that, you know, you see it there and you're like, oh, she uses this face cream or whatever. She got this cool new purse. It looks great on her. We're the same. We're alike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We both have a dog.
Yeah. So. I like pink.
We both like pizza. We both wish we had a marble countertop.
Yes. So it's interesting to see that that's the new way of doing it, but how it's still part of the machine.
It's so curated.
Yes.
It's so manufactured.
It's just on the DL bit.
And it always just kind of comes back in a different form. The monster always, like, it's like...
It's not totally hidden.
The Hydra always comes back with other heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. You cut one off and two more grow in its place, mama.
I wonder, too, how much, you know, people, the developers on Instagram and Facebook, all these apps who, you know, were so excited about this shopping thing.
Mm.
On Instagram. Oh, my voice is horrible. Sorry, guys. I sound like
Lady. I think you sound worse in your head than you sound.
Oh, do I? Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. Don't worry about that.
In my head, I sound like him. Like I'm a helium balloon. I'm just floating above you guys.
No, you don't sound like that at all in real life.
Yeah, I wonder now, like, having this shopping thing sort of launch and then not take off the way that they had anticipated or that anyone really had anticipated.
How much can you anticipate this shit, though, for real?
But you would think, though, that the people, like, the whole reason for Instagram and Facebook is to sell things.
Yes.
FYI, if you guys didn't know that, that's the whole
end game. Yep.
So I wonder how much this sort of fizzled response to buying. It's like, yes, it's great for the brands, and yes, you know, sales do go up, but they don't go up the way that they had expected to. Mm-hmm. So I wonder now, like, what will be the next
step?
What's the next level?
Yeah.
And will that alienate people even more, or will it be super successful? Like, I don't know. I'm always skeptical of these social media things because it's like, well, MySpace fizzled out.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Twitter can
Snapchat
be a disaster.
Fell out.
Yeah. Snapchat.
Twitter's been almost dead a few times over and made a comeback.
Yeah. So Twitter,
I'm surprised Instagram is hanging on this long.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's still a thing. I thought it was going to be a flash in the pan. And here I am, you know, 5 years later. Still using it daily.
I think the thing that gives Instagram its longevity is the fact that the human race is extremely vain.
Yes.
And this is just coming from me. And they are adaptive too.
Instagram is adaptive. They're not like MySpace, which was just like it did.
It was also rigid.
In the early days where people were also figuring it out. So I think these technologies are also doing better at staying alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And changing and buying each other and financing each other and adapting to this shifting.
Yeah. I don't think MySpace had those built-in algorithms to figure out
as soon as you clicked on your friend profile, you could have like Sublime playing.
Yeah. I had a Nexopia. I didn't have a MySpace.
No, I had MySpace.
Yeah.
I had neither.
I got a Friendster for like 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
I dated a guy who had a MySpace and he showed me his MySpace and it was like the background of it. He was a quote unquote aspiring photographer.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
So there was that.
The background of his MySpace, because you could customize it all, was this like... Yeah. Some dumb photo that was so distracting and broken up so that as you scroll down, it was like,
just like,
you're just like
down.
Really jarred. And it was horrible. It was the only MySpace thing I ever looked at. And I was like, oh, no, thank you. You're an idiot. This whole thing looks horrible.
Thank you for showing me this. I will see myself.
I will never do this.
I will lose your number.
Yes.
Oh, man. Sorry, Evan, you're saying something. I interrupted about how Instagram was adapting and changing and staying alive.
Well, like, and on top of the
people
fact
being
that,
vain.
That Instagram makes money because of the advertising and everything, they're also selling the data that they're collecting off of the people who are using their product, their app for free.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is all just some big market research plan that they can get all this data.
It's hugely in-depth and just...
Yeah. And I'm sure every fashion trend forecasting agency in the world is buying this data from
Instagram.
Oh,
they're paying big bucks
Facebook,
for this, for sure.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars for these reports. And that's what is influencing the industry. And it's not so much what the artist or the designer or the collectives of people who make fashion and use that medium as a way to have conversation about society at large who are making these decisions. It's being dictated by a computer that says that this formula of if you do this piece in this color at this time,
and post so many times a day on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. and
then you're for sure going to be making money.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like, look at the state of the industry. That's kind of, that's exactly what it is.
It's a big old mess.
It's a big old mess, you know, in an industry where someone like Dries, who I think is like one of the last few true visionaries in the fashion industry and still owns his own company and hasn't had to sell to a conglomerate or something like that.
Or a foreign entity.
He's constant, like his work is being featured in the same level as people who are just making garbage.
Feeding the machine.
You know, like these brands like Vetma and all the ones that we always complain about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like that's kind of, that's it. That's the arena that, that people are walking into now. And
it's interesting to see the people who are jumping in to, like, you know, full on, and then the people who are rejecting it and the people who are adapting their own business plans.
Yeah, but like Katie said, like the pendulum will all, the pendulum swings both ways. So I think like
it works.
Eventually there'll be a return to craft and authenticity and the appreciation of someone who's dedicated their life to what they do, as opposed to someone who just has the ideas and feeds into the zeitgeist and doesn't really have anything anything of value to add to the cultural conversation.
Yeah, they're just taking up space in the world and taking your money.
Yeah, like what does
a gigantic in return.
Yeah, what does an oversized sweater with shoulder pads with some lame catchphrase screen printed on it say about society? That
and you paid $48 for and, that.
More like I don't know, $480
in
the case of Vetma.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, and it's like these pieces that are so easily copied and made for cheaper.
Or designed in the first place. I mean, honestly, how much thought are they putting into this shit? Yeah. Come on.
And these are clothes that are designed on a computer. I mean, like no one sits down with a pencil and paper and designs
or in
this
front
stuff.
Of a or, front of yeah, a with a draping yeah. with the body form
it's
and
not
you know.
Tactile, you know. It's all done. It's all designed on a computer to be sold on a computer. To be photographed by the consumer and put onto the internet.
On a computer and, on a screen.
And that's it. You know, like you can't, I don't know, you can't wrangle your kids or go grocery shopping in a 45 inch long sleeve. You know, like it's just, it's ridiculous. You know,
there's some real long sleeve bullshit happening. I've bought 3 sweaters in the last couple
months. That are all really long.
And I literally one sweater had to cut off, I swear, 7 inches.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had too long sweaters, so.
I know. My
mine
arms
are always too short. Look.
My arms are a little bit on the short side. Granted, there's a lot of times where even with the shirt I'm wearing today, I have to fold up with just the cuff. That's enough. But I'm just like, come on. Like, literally, like, past my middle finger, it's like still 4 inches too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too much.
Even if I do roll
is it meant? Is like it meant to be hand. Fitted around the wrist and have like a poet sleeve, like
no,
a blouson
not the ones
or
I'm looking
a scrunch?
At. Thank God two of them were sweatshirts and I can just go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just chat.
And it won't unravel.
But one's a sweater and I'm like, I'm going to have to like serge this. Like, how do I do that? Anyway, I have some problem solving. You don't
want
to wear a sweater. It's a real nice sweater. Anyway.
I was going to say the whole thing, like you said, of people taking pictures of them and those like user generated content is a huge part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
Convincing your clientele to take a picture of them wearing your garment and share it on Instagram.
Basically,
it
is incredibly create an advertisement
useful.
For you.
Yeah,
it's
doing the work for
useful.
You, which is where this whole, you know, fake word of mouth thing comes from.
Yeah, it just looks like, oh, by the way, I just happen to have this, you know, like just dress. I just bought this new dress and it's great. Well, there's something I was going to talk about. A completely different side of social media is people having more access to more information about brands and then holding them to a higher standard, which has been happening. There was one, it's happened a few times in the last few months, mostly with independent brands because the big brands aren't listening.
No,
they don't give a fuck if you care about their workers in Bangladesh. They're going to keep doing what they're doing. But there was one specific big blow up that happened maybe 3 weeks ago. This brand called Son de Fleur, S-O-N-D-E-F-L-E-U-R. They make almost like prairie dresses, kind of. It's like kitschy, country, minimalism. Like they're beautiful stuff.
Is it like Laura Ingalls Wilder, but she lives in California and she's a little bit of a hoe?
No.
Is that the moment?
No. This is like long sleeve Peter Pan collars, bodice dresses with gathered skirts type of deal.
So in Vancouver, they'd be sold at on Main Street.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
But there's a brand, and the brand itself is from Eastern Europe, I think Lithuania or somewhere in Eastern Europe. And you look at their feed on Instagram, and it is all white blonde people.
That was the other thing I was going to say about these quote unquote ethical influencers. So many of them are that.
And we talked about it yeah. in this last episode because yep. it has a lot to do with these sustainable brands. Maybe it's just, again, maybe it's just because these are the brands that I'm looking at and these are the things that are coming up in my personal feed. But it was a huge deal that somebody reached out and said, can you like not have a white woman in one of your pictures? Yeah. Like, is that an option for you? And then all of a sudden, a whole bunch of white supremacists and not literal Nazis took over the feed. And we're like making videos promoting this brand as a white supremacist brand.
Ooh.
Oy.
And a whole bunch of people of color, especially women of color, who are the active in these in these sustainable fashion circles that I'm privy to or mm-hmm. taking part in or watching, they got doxxed by all these like neo-Nazis.
Jesus.
For just saying. And one of this specific brand, they have a huge following in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Japanese customer loves long, oversized. That look is very in right now. Mm-hmm. So this Sonde Flore brand used a bunch of Japanese hashtags to then market themselves to Japanese customers, but then do not show anybody even remotely Asian, let alone Japanese, in any of their branding. So that's when people came in and said, if you look at your tagged pictures that other people have made, black women, Asian women, native, like everybody's mm-hmm. wearing your clothes because they're nice clothes and they're well made in a sustainable way. And they said,
so why not
them.
Share?
So yeah. just use their pictures.
Get consent from the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or God forbid you hire a model of color. Yeah. And
well, they were saying instead. Like, where are we going to find a black model in Lithuania?
What? I bet you could find one. Also, you could probably just put somebody on a train.
Yeah, or go to London. Go to London or something. So there was a lot of but.
Yeah.
But then, like people, these influencers.
You
are like,
literally sell your clothes on the internet. We're living in the digital age.
Yeah.
Pretty much, like very few things are impossible.
I understand
when you have enough money.
Yeah, I understand for small brands.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily an option.
Mm-hmm.
That particular option. There are other ways to do it.
You do a collaboration with an influencer of color and you say, here's a dress we made in this specific fabric as part of this small collection with blah, 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 who's from Argentina or from,
South
Pakistan
Africa
or
something. Yeah.
Like, who knows? Who cares?
Get some sample copy for your Instagram post.
Yeah. There's ways to do it.
If you choose to use
people
it.
People are doing it. So they had a problem with people taking over their feed and they were not moderating their comments. And then also they came back with a, 75% apology.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, but you could see that they were,
I'm sorry you felt that way kind of thing.
Sorry. Exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry you feel bad about this. So, but they're trying. They're trying. It wasn't great, but it looks like they're learning and they're trying to figure it out. And thankfully there's a lot of women doing a lot of very important work on Instagram. Who are trying to call out these brands and look for more transparency. This was a very extreme example because there was so much white supremacy nonsense doing it. But then there's also people, give somebody a shirt.
Yeah.
And just and use their picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have to have a whole editorial shoot scheduled and hire a model and a makeup artist and make a whole thing. And
or do that too.
Or also just do that too.
At some point, you're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Just.
So that's one of the that's one of the pros, I think, in the social media part is that the consumer is becoming more mm-hmm. active in the process and in the industry itself. Like you can see for the longest time, it was what people in skyscrapers in New York City decided for us, right? In advertising agencies and magazines.
Literally editors.
Yes, literally editors. Whereas that is a very shifting landscape now. With people being able to create their own content, share their own content, interact with the brands directly. Like I am a person behind my phone and you are a person behind your phone and we're talking to each other. Because when are you going to fill out a form, write a letter to The Gap?
No.
They don't fucking care. They do not care. It's going right in the garbage. So it's nice to see that there are some there are some good things happening.
Yeah, that's true.
On a bigger ethical societal level. Again, it's little ripples for these little indie brands. But here's hoping.
Isn't to say that there aren't, you know, little indie brands that are doing a great job of doing that kind of thing, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was one brand that comes up in my feed quite a bit. I think I follow them, but I see a lot of their ads. I must have some algorithm propped up, but called Knixwear. And they do...
Oh, is it underwear?
Underwear.
Yes.
For...
all kinds of body types.
All and kinds models of body types. And yeah. So they're kind of...
Photoshop pictures.
Yeah.
Of actual human bodies.
Yeah.
What?
I know. I really like their stuff. They don't do any other ads. Like, they don't do billboards. They don't do TV ads. They don't do...
print or anything, or
they might do print, but they don't do like billboards or TV or anything.
Yeah,
but they're...
I have a couple of their bras. They're really nice.
Oh, do you? Yeah, I'm curious
because they do those period underwears too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not convinced about those in general, but
I have yet to.
The bras.
I haven't tried them.
The bras are really nice.
Yeah, but anyway, so that is a cool. That's a small brand that is growing, that is doing that kind of thing, in my opinion, very well.
And they take their customer feedback very seriously.
Yes, yeah.
They actively seek out Everlane too. Every time, all the times I've put in an order at Everlane, a week later after I get it, I get an email saying, "Hey, would you mind filling out a feedback or whatever review?" And I don't really do that. It's like, especially on Amazon, it's like Amazon's a shit show in general. I try not to engage with as little as I can. But things like this, everything I bought on Everlane, I try to write a review for because I know they will take. I bought a pair of shoes from them, just a pair of flats, and then like 6 months later, I got a survey that says, "Hey, you've bought shoes from us in the past. Here's a 10-question survey that'll take you 2 minutes about what we could potentially offer in the future." And like I trust that they are going to take this information that they're getting from their consumers and then decide what they're going to do next. Mm-hmm. I would like a Mary Jane. That's just me. A flat Mary Jane would be nice.
Yeah, I'll take one of those.
That was my feedback.
I also have provided feedback for Everlane. Because I read their reviews all the time.
Yeah. How is this going to fit? How tall are you? How big are your boobs? Does this work for you?
Like, because they
include... How long are your legs?
Yeah, includes the size of the... the height of the person and the weight.
What size you bought.
And what size they usually wear, what size they bought.
Yeah.
Which is infinitely helpful for a person who is small, but, you know, has an athletic thighs and an athletic ass.
And I'm in between a medium and a large.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can either go, and depending on the fit of the piece, I want to know which way I should go. And especially with Everlane, they have a lot of like oversized, more boxier cuts. I got a shirt in a size 6. I'm a 14.
La-di-da.
But I read the reviews.
Yeah.
And I looked at the size chart and they had all the best information on there that I found critical.
Yeah, me too.
To let me know. Hey, if I had bought the 14, it would have been a fucking poncho.
Yeah.
It would have been like a huge tent.
Yeah.
So I got a size 6.
Beach cover up.
Yeah. For me and my 2 kids.
Yeah.
That's what's the fort that's upstairs.
Yeah, yeah. The fort. That's what it is. I draped it over the dining room table. So that's great that, you know, it's nice to see that, like, you aren't just screaming into the void.
Yeah.
And that companies like this are taking it seriously and are building it into their business model.
More, please.
And not just, it's not just like a one-way transaction.
Yeah.
Which fashion can be in a lot of ways. They put it out, you buy it. That is it. And your choice is to buy it or not. And that's as much feedback as you were going to give them.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So it's nice to see that these, you can have actual relationships with people. And
that's what
especially with the smaller brands,
I
too.
It's say,
like,
yeah.
I can know this woman. I know this lady. I know this person. And these two ladies that make this. You know, I don't know them personally, but I have interacted with them directly.
And you can send them a message and be like, "Hey, I'm really interested in this and this.
If you ever make it in black,
make
call
it in black,
me.
Whatever.
Or whatever.
What's the inseam? You know, I recently lost a bit of weight and my blah, blah, like whatever. I mean, you can be pretty
sure. My butt
sure.
is this big. Will I fit?
Will I fit?
That is always my question. Yeah. Like, this is my butt measurement. This is my hips. Will this fit me?
And instead of someone... you know, sending you back a size chart, which you can find online. It's like,
may
oh,
not
well,
be helpful depending on the measurements.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You can count on usually a real live human.
Well, it also works.
Interacting it also with works. Knows that product.
And it works in your benefit too, because a lot of these small brands don't have great return policies.
Yes.
So if you buy something, you are on the hook for $20 restocking fee and paying your own postage. And it's not free returns like all these big corporations have, right? So you want to make sure you get your order right. So reading the reviews and messaging the sizing expert, or, you know, making sure that their size charts are accurate and, you know, expansive. Like, I was looking at buying this jumpsuit. They didn't have hip measurement.
What?
They had bust and waist. I'm like, it's a fucking jumpsuit. I need to know if my butt's going to fit. Like, that's it's my widest part. And for a lot of people, that's the biggest measurement. The and that's the one you have to take into account, right? And then everything else you can adjust or, you know, react to. But is my butt going to fit in this? Am I going to be able to pull it over my thighs?
That shit drives me.
Drives me crazy.
I always look at the size chart.
I don't want to be disappointed. I'm so excited when I order something. I want to send it back. I just want to have it.
I also don't like buying from those big companies that are like, we make it real easy to return everything, no problem. It's like, well,
yeah.
If you're a big company like that, do I really know what standards you're keeping for, I mean, for ethical reasons, for like who's making it? In what horrible factory in Bangladesh is it being produced? You know, is there child labor? Like all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. Chances are with bigger companies.
Or I always worry about, if I return this to you, then what are you going to do with it?
Yes.
Are you going to resell it? Are you going to throw it away?
Are you going to chop it off and throw it in a dumpster? Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Set when it I on send, fire.
Yeah. Just donate it to some poor African country full of hand-me-downs already, overloaded with our, quote, garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, by the way, that happens. When you return stuff, it doesn't usually go back on the shelf.
Nope.
So I ran for big companies. But anyway, where are we at time wise?
I recently bought something off of one of the Instagram ads.
Yeah, oh, you did. What?
I bought some silk undies.
Ooh.
Yeah, like as silk knit.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, there's like this. They're like a technical. I have this silk knit top that usually that you would just buy as like a layering piece for working out. And then I'd been researching that same fabric forever, and I guess it just came up in the feed.
Yeah, the algorithm.
Yeah,
I bought them. It up for you.
Yeah, just gonna see how it is. Yeah, because I'm...
Have you got it yet?
No, I just ordered them yesterday. Because I was like, maybe this will be interesting to like just go through that process. And
yeah,
it was the same thing. Like, you just click on the ad, it brings you to the website, you do everything in there. And I think that that's a smart move on Instagram's part, because then the person who you're buying stuff from has the onus of making sure your information is secure, as opposed to Instagram.
Yeah, there's a liability issue there that they can just wash their hands of.
Like, if you have a security leak, then Instagram doesn't have any responsibility.
I think there's an effort to move away from that, though, and to be able to just click and buy.
It's so satisfying. Oh, because iTunes, like you just put your thumbprint, boom. You bought it. Or PayPal, where you just like, I know on my browser, on my computer, it doesn't matter where I shop from. If they have a link to PayPal, it just goes to PayPal and PayPal handles it all. And it's just literally like two clicks and I buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's a move on Instagram and Facebook to do that.
Consolidate that.
Because I think on Pinterest, there's a buy button on Pinterest.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know how that one works. I'm not familiar with Pinterest at all.
Mm.
Mostly because you have to sign up for it and it just is... too much.
Even look at the Google search results. You
I had to use it once.
Sign in. It drives me crazy.
For a job interview, they wanted us to do like mood boards on Pinterest.
Mm.
And I fucking hated it. It was so annoying. I didn't like the interface. It was complicated. It was like cluttered and ugly, and I didn't like it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I don't like it either.
Anyway.
Most social media, I'm like, no. I don't want I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Oh, so it's a real crapshoot. I think that's our conclusion. And it's a big question mark on what it's going
to
look like.
Yeah, and where this pendulum, as we say, will swing to.
How soon will it swing? Where will it land? And what will happen afterwards?
And I wonder, too, how much, just as an afterthought, how much price has to do with shopping on social media, too.
Oh,
I bet it's a massive factor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't buy anything like that anyways, usually, but I wonder how many $400 purchases are being made on Instagram versus a $40.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I bet that's a huge... I bet if you did like did some research on the price per price of purchase for what's actually being made.
Transaction.
I bet it's less than $60 is the bulk.
The average.
Yeah, you're not buying $1,500 jeans or something.
Yeah.
No, yeah. You're not buying.
Not one click shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
A cocktail dress.
Or even like a table or, you know, it's not just clothes, although that's what we're primarily talking about. You're not, you know, buying a fridge, you know. You're not buying a cabinet, you know. But yeah, I bet.
But that might also depend on the brands. Hey, man, if they have a fuckload of useful information on their website and it gives you the dimensions, the weight, the delivery options. If you can get all that information, I don't know.
Yeah, but would you trust it too? Yeah. That would be my thing. It's like, I don't know.
I don't know. Man.
I wouldn't.
Mind you ordered your couch. Not from social media, but you did. It was a purchase you made online.
I bought
my dining room table the same way. We went to West Elm on the website and just shopped around. We just kept shopping around online. Just we can't. Like, what the fuck? When the fuck am I gonna have time to go to 5 different stores?
Yeah,
and research tables. But they had a lot of useful information on their website.
And you know what? I did ask other people as well.
Yeah, yeah, you did ask around. I did get
some user-generated content. Yeah. Yeah.
Some consumer feedback.
Definitely.
Word of mouth, your influencer.
But I wouldn't have bought that couch on Instagram.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There's no way. I would have needed to go. In fact, I did need to go to the website to like look at their returns policy.
Yeah.
Spend some time.
Click around on other things.
Yeah. If it was a $30 t-shirt.
It's a different story.
It's a different story. But still. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, man.
I'm so curious about this stuff because I also like hate it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hate it mostly.
Yeah.
But it's such a huge part of the industry. Natural reaction is
just no.
Yeah. It's such a huge part of the industry that's like, well, you can't ignore it. It's not reality. In the way.
Yeah.
It just creeps into your psyche and like your habits and your, you know,
as you say, little by little. The influencer aspect of Instagram is a $1 billion industry this year, which is insane.
And I fall for it all the time.
Yeah, definitely. It works.
I bought some silk underwear.
Yeah. I fall for that shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Well,
I think we've waxed long enough on this for today. Should we take a quick...
Yes.
A quick break. Go away and come back?
And come back.
Okay. Becky, we're back.
We're back.
I'm here with my Beckys.
Becky.
My muñeques, my white women. That's how you say white woman in Cree.
Sweet.
Keep say it again.
Muñeque.
Muñeque
means woman and muña means white.
There you go.
That actually sounds really nice.
If you say it with love, like I am now.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But often it's just like fucking muñas. Like,
a bit more cutting.
Last night we had some good muña popcorn, which was not a Katie Garnham popcorn. It was lacking in flavor.
Oh, no.
Absolutely lacking in flavor.
Katie
does not fuck around with popcorn.
I literally put it on my resume.
I said, it's part of your bio.
Yeah.
It has to be in your bio.
It's in your special skills.
Yeah. I sent you that popcorn maker. It was like that cool way of making popcorn on like a, I don't know,
on
like
a
Mongolian grill, basically.
Ooh. Yeah, like a big old restaurant flat top.
It's and then they open that, they take that metal bowl out from on top and then it just spills out. Wonderful.
Ooh, nice. Yeah,
wonderful.
I was like, but that was way ahead of you.
Popcorn's a constant obsession around these parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be a regular dinner option for me when I was in fashion school.
Yeah.
When I was hella poor.
Yeah. Like a Tim Hortons bagel and a Wonder Bar.
Yeah. There you go. That was dinner.
It was usually a Tim Hortons bagel or a Wonder Bar.
Or. Yeah.
I can only buy one thing.
Or if there was
today.
A 2-for-1 sale over at the Dollarama
down the
street.
You got to load up on those.
Yeah. You get the double, get those 2 king size and then. Whoever buys them gets 2, and then Evan gets 1, Abby gets 1.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
It worked out.
It always worked.
Those days where you would just be in your own universe, staring into the work, staring into what you're doing, and then a Wonder Bar would just slide into view.
Yeah, in your peripheral vision.
Yeah.
And you're like, don't tell anyone.
And then
we're not sharing. This only goes around this table.
Yes. And you're like, and then you realize, oh, fuck, I haven't eaten in 7 hours.
Yeah. That's why I can't get this seam right.
That's why I can't add
that's
these
why
two
I've sewn
numbers
the
together.
Same sleeve, the same left sleeve onto the right side of the garment. So my sleeve is pivoting towards the back.
I don't know how many times I sewed a sleeve into a neck hole.
I was
tired. Mm-hmm. Just like, yep, that is not. Well, this isn't fitting. Weird.
Oh, you know what? I haven't eaten since 8 a.m. and it's 10:45.
Yeah.
Whoops. Anyway.
It's about right.
Sounds about right.
Okay. Should we obsess?
Yes. Mm.
We usually do.
Yes.
So, speaking of white nonsense, I just watched a stunning show on Netflix, binged it in like 2 days. I've just been sitting and embroidering.
Sure, just
and
having this on.
At some point, my mind, I can do certain stitches without looking now. I can feel.
Yeah.
Like, it's because there's like a running stitch that we use a lot. It just kind of like frames a lot of the little.
The more intricate things.
More intricate bits that you need to look at or else everything will go out of.
Your eyes will cross.
Haywire, yeah. now I can binge stuff because I'm getting so, I don't know.
Quick.
Just do it.
Quick
just
at this embroidery.
Yeah.
So I binge watched Black Earth Rising.
The fuck is that?
So fucking
amazing. I saw a preview for this. It looks so good.
You guys would fucking love this. So it centers around one character played by Michaela Cole who was in Chewing Gum. There was funny show.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically autobiographical. It was Michaela Cole's own.
Yes.
Chewing Gum was.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But this is her first dramatic turn. Ooh. And she plays a survivor of the Rwanda genocide.
Oh, shit.
Who is adopted by English, basically members of the military who were aid workers when
the show went
that
down.
That whole situation went down. And it's kind of, it revolves around like geopolitics and international relations and international law and bringing these genocide
aid and
bringing these people who committed these atrocities to justice and how that process isn't always cut and dry and black and white. And there's always more than one version of the story and
justice isn't always.
And justice isn't always cut. Like
it's not always just.
Yeah exactly. And who should carry out this justice? And it brought a lot of conversations up about colonialism and race and how basically in this situation in particular, the French and English and Dutch governments could kind of wipe their hands clean of the reason why this genocide happened in the first place.
Mm.
Which was the civil unrest that was created through colonialism and the destruction of the ways of knowing and being that had flourished in this area for time immemorial. And just they could walk in there as aid workers and support for these governments, like specifically the Congo and Rwanda, which was kind of the two countries that were involved in this whole situation. But
well, wasn't it when the colonials left, they just fucked everything up?
Yeah, they just left. They just basically laid ruin to everything.
They like physically, like actually actively destroyed things that they had made so the Africans couldn't have them.
Yeah.
And then they just left.
Mm-hmm.
And then this. And then
it was like, bye, put it all back together somehow.
Yeah, figure it out, bye. Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, like what happened through colonization, this is the Cliff Notes version, and obviously it's lacking nuance and probably a lot of factual errors because most of what I know is from movies and very limited research
and
this show, of course. But they unseated a kingdom like the Tutsi people. They were unseated because they basically were running society in a way that was seen as inferior
primitive or whatever,
in the eyes of the Dutch, who are the people who for the most part colonized Rwanda,
that part of the world,
and the Congo. And then after that, they just created all of this infighting, and they actively egged it on, and
they pitted them against
each other,
against one another.
Yeah. They cornered people into poverty, and then just kind of left it.
Yeah,
and then
just stirred the pot,
just stirred the pot,
away.
And left. So this whole story centers around Michaela Cole's character and her discovering the truth about how she came to be in England and be raised by a white woman who works for this international justice place. It's somewhere in, oh my God, the Hague.
Mm-hmm. Yep, in Holland. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So she works for them, and how she is this woman who has been basically putting all of these.
I got very, very
these war criminals
a couple times. Oh.
My memory of the Hague.
Oh my God. Okay.
Side note.
Yeah, and then it's
lovely. I remember nothing.
Yeah, it's just this conversation of this white woman from a colonial power who is bringing all of these black men to justice, and who is the person who should be bringing them to justice? What is the judiciary system?
Like? Yeah.
Who should be doing it? Should it be the citizens and the people of that country who are bringing these people to justice? And how does this white woman bringing these people to justice affect all of the other people who she's in cahoots with in governments all over the world? So there's this one character who is in the Bureau of African Affairs in the US. There's another one of her cohorts who's played by John Goodman, who is basically the guy who's like the linchpin, who holds all the secrets, holds all the cards,
John Goodman.
All of the plays that are going to be happening. And it's this like 20-year plot that they've been waiting for this moment to bring this certain general, I guess, to justice for committing the atrocities he did during the genocide, I don't know, it's just so layered, and you never really know whose side anybody's on, and then at the end of it, it doesn't really end in a satisfying way. Sure. It's
that's not real life,
which
right?
Is, yeah. I mean, it's still a narrative. Control. It was created by the BBC, so it's probably a majority of white people telling this story of someone who's not white. So there was a lot of really hard conversations and scenes where Michaela Cole's character is just put in the face of absolute white supremacy and someone who just said like the most awful, like characters who would just say the most awful things to her, not knowing that she was a survivor of the genocide, and then her confronting them at, like in the moment.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh wow.
And then still seeing them hard in their resolve of feeling like they had no play in it, even though their interests that they had in Africa at that time were directly benefiting from that genocide.
Yeah, yeah.
We were that's flipping intense. Through Netflix the other day, and we watched that, and I was like, ooh, that looks super interesting. And I was like, it's a little too heavy for a Saturday
right
night.
Yeah.
I think we'll watch something else, but I'm so curious. 100%.
I'm butchering it, but
how many episodes is it?
I think it's like 8 or 9.
Okay.
And each of them are an hour.
All right.
Just like a BBC miniseries.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not that it matters, but she is fucking beautiful.
Stunning.
Yes.
Oh, holy shit.
Stunning. God. And I could watch her, I don't know, read the phone book. She's just fascinating to watch on TV, you know? She needs some, like, big star-making vehicle. She's such an amazing actress. And I've only seen her do comedic stuff before, but she brought this nuance to playing trauma out on screen.
On screen, yeah.
That I've never seen before.
I would never have guessed that was the same.
Right? Sure, same lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and wow. Yeah, it was... It's very hard to explain because often trauma that a person of color, I'm speaking mostly from an indigenous point of view, but I can use this as an example. There's like the first 5 minutes of the Indian Horse.
Oh yeah. I watched a little bit of that recently and I want to watch the rest of it.
It's basically just violent flashbacks to residential schools and it's trauma porn. It's basically supposed to immediately establish a sense of the fact that you can feel sorry for somebody, and that still places the viewer into a position of superiority.
Yeah.
But in this show, to pity somebody and to feel
instead of empathy.
Yeah, exactly. And like, and in this
or acknowledgement.
Yeah, in this validation. Instance, I think it's more so in her performance than her script or what was given to her. She played out these scenes in such an interesting way. Like, it was never it was never seen as it, like they didn't make like a cinematic spectacle out of her trauma and her and the hardship she went through.
It's a trauma porn.
Yeah, it wasn't trauma porn.
We're surrounded by all.
It was so much more internal, and it was so much more about the psychological effects of trauma, and not so much about seeing this child literally being pulled out of a pit of dead bodies.
Yeah,
you know, it was more so about like how did that affect her?
She's a human being, fully
as a grown
person.
Woman.
Yes,
a grown woman with addiction issues, with mental health issues.
Sure, this incredibly complex history, and
and like this disconnection to people and place and family.
Yeah,
that I don't know. I obviously like the two situations, my ancestors and this character's ancestors. It's completely different, but in many ways it's same because it's a colonial monster that just came in and wreaked
just
havoc.
Just shoot it up and set it up. Yeah,
but it was beautiful.
Cool. I'm glad you saw it. I've been curious.
I haven't seen it fascinating come up in character. My Netflix, so I'll have to have a look.
There's so many great
monologues.
I was
too busy watching the fire documentary. I'm sorry. Oh, good Lord. I was screaming at my TV. That is not my obsession. That's just a side note of the fucking fire festival documentary. Oh, my God. Anyway.
I've only seen the meme of the guy who's like, I was fully prepared to walk into the room and suck his dick.
God. Oh, man.
I don't need any context for that. I'm just seeing so many funny memes coming out of that.
Take a big one for the team. Yep. Anyway. And Brian and Aaron talked about it on
Of course they did.
It was very funny. Anyway.
What's your obsession?
I can obsess. I've been obsessing this new Instagram account back to social media. It's called La Grosse Toile. LAGROSSETOILE, which means like the big textile, the big piece of fabric. Mm-hmm. And it's this lady, she's an Australian woman who lives in France, and she goes to like estate sales and secondhand stores and anywhere where she can find vintage textiles, but ones that are like over 100 years old.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes more.
So like antique.
Antique, yes. Not vintage, yes, antique. And she caught my eye. I forget how she came up in my feed because she finds and sources sleep shirts.
Really?
Yes. So she has quite a few 17th and 18th century cotton, hemp, linen sleep shirts,
ooh,
which is exactly what started the company I work for.
Yeah.
Literally, my boss went to a flea market in London and found an 18th century sleep shirt that a man would wear.
Yeah.
That has a 3/4 placket, the little bar at the bottom, the long sleeves, Ebenezer Scrooge style. So I started following her, and I've been able to message this Joanna lady and, you know, and talk to her about and link her to the sleep shirt and say, hey, this is what we're doing, but for the 21st century. But she also has like tablecloths, bed clothes, tea towels, hand woven, hand embroidered. Mm. And they are everyday things that people would use. Yes, she does have some specialty things that were like from like super posh people back in the day. But a lot of the things she tries to source, and she also sells them too. She has a collection of stuff she won't sell, obviously. Too good to sell. She's too attached to. But she also sells, you know, for 75 euros or whatever, these big, beautiful handmade tablecloths from, you know, the 1890s.
So cool.
And they're beautiful. Mm. And the lady's like, she's a bit cheeky and she's, you know, she's also a foreigner living in France, which is also kind of an interesting, especially an Anglophone living in France. They have a different take on French culture than other foreigners do, I think. But anyway, this lady's awesome. And the stuff she finds is fascinating. She takes a beautifully detailed photographs of all these things, and she knows about what the embroideries mean and where they were made and what they were from. Like she finds them, like they find the sample stitches that girls used to practice back in the day, right, where you would do the whole alphabet, and it's just a girl learning to embroider and learning to do these stitches and stuff. And she finds these samples, and they make beautiful pieces of art.
Yeah,
frame them, right, and it's just, you know, and their families, and they say 1893 and the girl's name and how old she is when she did it, and, you know, wedding presents going back and forth, and it's just this great historical look at specifically French culture because that's where she's living, but these beautiful handmade textiles.
So cool.
And I just like I can't I will just scroll through her feed again and again and again and again.
Oohing and aahing.
Oohing and aahing. Yeah. And like, in her story, she talks about how to recreate that sort of relationship with textiles now in this throwaway culture that we're living in, and what this used to mean for somebody and how much this would cost for somebody back then. And it was a big deal.
How much
and
now, time it took to make
how
it.
How much time it takes. These are all like every edge is finished by hand. And, you know, it's just super fascinating.
Well, they were like heirloom pieces. Like yes. The tablecloths and linens and stuff were like heirloom.
You put them in your hope chest.
Yeah.
Before you got married, or you know, that's what your aunts would give you mm-hmm. when you had your baby. They would give you the blanket that every other baby had used, right? And she's had a whole bunch of like work coats. You know, like Bill Cunningham used to wear like those blue cotton coats. Katie, you have a couple. I know Dave's got one. He's got some fancy like modern Japanese man's version because that's Dave. He fancy.
Mm-hmm.
But she will source them all and sell them. And like these cool like French workman's pants. He's like super old, cool, old style, like high waisted,
like sailor pants.
Yeah, kind of? Yeah, like corduroy and twill pants that are just like. You spend $300 on now for some like indie brand.
Right.
Like she will sell them for 50 euros.
Wow. Cool.
So anyway, Joanna, La Grosse
Toile. Yeah, her page is really nice.
It's very interesting. If that's your interest.
If that's your thing.
If it's not, it's going to be super boring. That's fine. That's on you.
You do you.
That's mostly everything we talk about. Yeah. Here. You might like it, you might not. It's up to you.
That's your problem, not mine.
Yeah.
What about you, Catherine?
Well, that's just like your opinion, man. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been so lively this last few days with this terrific cold that's been killing me. So all I've done truly the last few days is lie down. Yes. So
whatever you can do while lying down and barely using your brain.
Barely using my brain. So I have two really quick ones. Not surprising, they are also Netflix related.
Mm-hmm.
I watched every available episode of Queer Eye that is on there.
So great.
So great.
Love it.
You can just put it on. You're going to have a nice,
you're going to feel great.
Tight, cute little story. You're probably going to cry mm-hmm. at some point.
You're going to learn something.
You're going to learn something. There's a few episodes that are like really kind of hit some important political notes.
Yes.
Like,
historical notes.
Historical
too.
Notes. Yeah. Like the one, there was one with a cop, and the guy who was driving was the black guy whose name I can never remember.
Karamo.
Thank you. Yeah. I always pronounce it improperly. But gets pulled over by a cop, and you know, this whole discussion starts about police brutality and non-black men and all of this stuff. So it's like teaching people, just regular people, about homosexuality and about
they were also
opening
in
your
Georgia,
eyes to different things. So they're also in Georgia. Yeah. There's a lot of learning to be done in lots of places. Yeah. Anyway, it's really good. I just
they're
was like,
all
I'll just
so
keep watching it.
Charming.
They're also charming
and likable.
So great.
Yeah, they're charming, but I don't think they're all likable.
Who do you not
like?
Likeable
to
like
watch.
Anthony.
Like I don't know. I wouldn't be friends with Anthony.
Yeah.
But I watch him.
Yeah.
Is he the food one?
Yeah. He's also he also gets the short end of the stick, I think, out of everyone.
Yeah.
Because he's like,
they don't have time for like a full Rachel Ray cooking segment with him.
No. Yeah. Like you're making like a dip.
Yeah.
You're cutting up veggie sometimes with Anthony. So am I
doing a charcuterie platter?
You're laying out some things you bought at the store on a cutting board.
Making some guac.
But he's cute. He's pretty.
He's cute.
He is pretty. There's some bullshit about him though. I don't think
he's coming for the comedy festival.
Yeah, I don't know
about that.
Let's get Dave in here and really talk about the important things. Why is Anthony coming to Just for Laughs West?
Why does he get his own show?
Yeah.
What is he going to do for an hour and a half?
I don't find him quite very funny on TV.
Especially with JVN standing next.
I mean, yeah.
Of course.
Why is Jonathan Van Ness not having, like, that
he's
makes
too
sense.
Busy. He's too busy figure skating with Chrissy Yamaguchi.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Booked and busy.
Or Michelle Kwan or whoever it was.
I guess he's also not Canadian because Just for Laughs is a Canadian. But they have international.
It's a bunch of people coming from the States too. Paul F. Tompkins is coming up. He's not Canadian. Anyway,
Evan
probably has different insights to this story than this show than
my whole experience of this is the last 2 days watching every single episode that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I've followed JVN for a while.
Yeah. Because been on our radar. Yes.
Yeah. But other than that, everybody's new to me.
Yes.
So I just
you're here for it.
When you're sick, And you just need a good time to pass.
Feel nice.
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. I've devoured every fucking episode.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I love the makeover show.
I know, right?
Poor Bobby's left doing all the hard work.
Yeah.
The interior design guy. They're all up having fun and shopping and talking to grandma and stuff. And he's the one fucking sawing and painting.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Manning a whole crew. Yeah.
Yeah, his part is always the best.
It's true.
Yeah,
his house is very satisfying.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there was the one guy who's the dad and like quite a churchy dad, and they have six kids in this tiny house, and their house is fucking next level.
Yes.
So like messy and insane. I was like, miracle come to worker. My house.
Miracle worker.
Amazing. Anyway, the other one is Chris and I just watched it. I think we went over 2 days to watch it, 2 evenings. But we watched Russian Doll, Natasha Lyonne's new show on Netflix. Yeah,
I've heard a lot of people say I need to make time on my schedule for it.
It is extremely good.
I really enjoyed it.
I really like her.
Mm-hmm.
She is this badass, unapologetic, feisty, redhead lady. And this story just keeps turning in circles.
Huh.
And I don't want to give too much away because it's worth just sort of not, I didn't know anything beyond the trailer.
It's got an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's very, very good. It's a woman-centric. It's a tour de force. Yeah. It's weird and it's sort of out there. It's not sci-fi or anything like that, but it's
weird.
It's weird.
Mm.
And it's about death and forgiveness and past and dealing with mental health issues and feminism and all this kind of cool stuff. It was much beyond what I expected from the trailer. It's really good. I don't want to say too much about it because just watch it.
Yep.
And it's so good. I love Natasha Lyonne. I've always had a little tiny crush on her. She's so cool.
Yes.
She's just like infinitely cool. She's always like the cool. She's just cool.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, I'm not cool. Like, she's cool. I can be cool.
I'm all right. I got my moments.
I'm not Natasha Lyonne cool. Impossible. And then Chloe Sevigny.
But I'm a cheerleader? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Chloe Sevigny has a little part in there and you're like, well,
yeah.
I mean, come on. Sheesh. Forget it.
Yeah. Talk about cool.
The ultimate cool girl.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a comedy, but it's also like not a traditional
funny
comedy, but then there's like some really dark parts too at the end. And
nice.
Yeah, it's really good. Sweet. I highly recommend.
Figure it out.
I think there's 8 episodes. It's really good.
Real good.
We were like, well, I guess I was going to go to bed at like 9 o'clock last night. I was like, well, we can't leave without watching. We have to watch more. Like, we can't
just sitting there.
We're just gonna,
waiting.
So we had to power through.
There you go.
Worth it. Really,
God's
really good.
God's work.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome, everyone.
Oh.
Anyway, that's me. That's it.
Yes. I think we've reached our 90 minutes-ish. I think we're doing okay.
Well, goodbye.
Yeah. Okay. Adios. But yes, it's been a pleasure.
You guys didn't even talk about the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Fashion's recording biggest event.
Have to see.
Apparently, Maroon 5 is going to be doing a SpongeBob tribute.
Oh, is it Maroon 5?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Is no one hosting? Because
they wrote a song for the SpongeBob movie or something.
Oh God! Yeah.
Bring back Janet Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Oh God. Anyway,
there's lots of memes going around. Happy Janet Jackson Appreciation Day.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
My friend shared a photo of Janet's Super Bowl performance. The infamous one.
Mm.
It's like, today is for legends only.
Everyone else
gets aside.
Yeah. Side.
Maroon 5 who?
Yeah, who cares?
Oh, boy. They're perfect for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they are. I mean, after having like some strong femmes up there for the last couple of years, they needed to give those football fans some energy.
You gotta whiten it up.
Plus, a bunch of these awesome femmes are saying, no thank you.
Yeah.
Cardi B turned down a fuckload of money
because
she's just like, no thank you.
Yeah.
She's like, Colin Kaepernick, no thanks.
Remember that? That's not settled.
I'm with him.
Yeah. Rihanna mentioned Janet and Colin Kaepernick.
Sweet.
Yeah. Because like the NFL never really like issued an apology or anything to Janet.
Surprise.
Yeah. No.
I could talk for another 90 minutes about how much I hate the NFL, but
yeah, there's that. Big surprise.
It's not that kind of podcast.
It's not that kind of podcast. We don't do sports here. Who cares?
We need definitely to relink you to Katie's, one of her crowning achievements of her writing career.
Okay, I'll link it. That was funny.
The red carpet.
Was it
the green?
Super Bowl's best dress.
Yeah, Super Bowl's best dress. Yeah.
So great. I'll never get
Everyone was featured. I didn't leave anyone out.
No.
It was really fun. It was a really fun piece
to write, actually. Oh, boy.
Anyway. You guys, find us in all the places. Yes. We're on this thing called social media. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
We're Fashion Eggs Podcast on Instagram, Fashion
We will
Eggs
not
on Twitter.
Try and sell things to you.
No.
Not right away.
Not on purpose.
Maybe again later.
We're influencers, so it's like, we're just like recommending.
Maybe if you guys want more merch.
We're also like not that great on our Instagram.
Yeah.
Don't hold us to too high of a standard.
There's also that.
And shoot us an email if you want, fashionhags@gmail.com. The website is fashionhagspodcast.com, where you can do a quick recap of our obsessions and you can stream the audio directly from there. So go do that. And then if you want to rate us and give us a review on iTunes and stuff, that is
please do.
Really nice. We just really like that and it really does help us grow. And tell people if you like it. That's fun too. Mm-hmm. This whole word of mouth thing, it's real.
Yeah.
I have to go take another swig of cold medication, so I'm going to go.
Yep, there you go. Sounds about right.
But you guys remember, of course, we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun,
dun, dun.
Bye.
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 Fashion.
Fashion.
Hey. Hey.